bond portfolio adds to that, at that $150 billion, to get it to $220 billion. It's not $220 billion of new dollars.
I'm just trying to give the credit to the governor and the administration for the work that they believe can be leveraged by the $70 billion, Mr. Cox.
And I wasn't trying to take that away from him. I just wanted to make out the point that that we were, in fact, on line to spend $150 billion in the next 10 years, which has now been augmented by another $70 billion as proposed by the governor.
I want to get to Mr. Lowenthal, but before I do, I want to let Mr. Secretary here comment a little bit about the second question, which was about taking some of those most significant polluters off the roads if we're going to be moving more people and more product over the state's highway system.
Well, one of the things we have this year, we have the benefit in terms of just the retrofit. We have the benefit ARB has been done more testing of some of the retrofit devices, so I think we're in a better position. And I agree with you, there are funds there to allow some of the companies to compete. Clearly, one of the most cost-effective ways, obviously, is some of the scrappage program to get some of the old equipment out the way, get those off there. We can get a significant impact, particularly for some of the areas that are heavily impacted, where they got some of these high emitting equipment or vehicles running around as well. So I think this, as I said before, this is really a total part of the package. And I just want to reiterate also from the environmental viewpoint, obviously we are talking about significant health impact costs there. And I think you will see as this works through to make sure that in fact those are mitigated in terms of getting the type of technology that can be done, because that also in itself, I know a number of companies in California which can take advantage of actually providing retrofit and cleaning up some of the equipment that's there, as well as going to look at, for example, electrification, which we can use in some of these cases as well.
Mr. Lowenthal, you've been very patient. Thank you.
Yeah, interest of just completing, I have another by 4:45. While I applaud again, and I really do, the governor is putting the $1 billion for in the goods move, dedicating $1 billion for air quality improvements, primarily in terms of goods movement at the ports. Right now, in the proposal, these funds are routed through the California Transportation Commission. Don't you believe that the Air Quality Board, the Air Resources Board, should be given jurisdiction over these funds?
Well, and this is something that came up at the public meeting as well. And
right, we mentioned this.
And we discussed this internally. I think the allocation of those funds will, in fact, go through the Air Resources Board. There's no question. They are the ones in the best position to decide that. Right. What the CTC has to make sure that if you look at the overall expenditure of the funds, they're consistent with the overall plan that's being worked on by BT&H and Cal-EPA. So that, Senator, I'm comfortable with that piece of it. I'm not comfortable, obviously, in letting CTC decide what should be funded and where that should get in the state.
Yeah, I'm not. I hear you, and I understand. I'm just, you know, the devil is in the details, and I personally believe that jurisdiction. I think CTC is going to have tremendous amount of control and jurisdiction as we follow this through in terms of infrastructure issues and transportation issues. I am just uncomfortable that we do not really clearly define the role of the Air Resources Board in the allocation of these funds. I think it's very, very important that that delineation be made. I understand what you're talking about, but it's still very, right now, it is not really as clear as I would like it to be.
My understanding in the bill that this came up on Friday, that it's not clear, and clearly that's an important point to clarify.
Before offering any summary comments, I do want to make an opportunity for public comment from those we've not yet heard from. If you would come forward and speak briefly, we'll ask you to keep your remarks to just 1 minute and make your most salient, punchiest, crispest point. And we'll ask our two representatives from the administration to hang with us here in case there's anything else at the last minute. So looks like we have three. Let's do them 1, 2, 3. Go.
Thank you, Senator. Justin Fanzal, representing the California Bicycle Coalition. I just wanted to quickly answer a question that you had.
I didn't ask you one, sir.
Oh, earlier there was a question about bicycle infrastructure, and it was, once it's built, what do we do? San Luis Obispo County recently released their bicycle plan. their bicycle plan, according to the funding sources that are available to them today, will not be complete for 92 years. Then I also wanted to say, if you see somebody breaking the law, take their seat. It's much more uncomfortable to ride on a seatless bicycle, because they're not supposed to.
I'm going to take that as a facetious comment. I'm going to thank you for comments.
Mr. Chairman, it also shows he doesn't know anything about the bicycles in Sacramento. He'd get killed for that, sir.
So, okay, that would be a capital offense. All right, next speaker.
Yes, thank you. I'm Tim Frank, representing the Sierra Club. And our top priority is to make sure that the infrastructure investments of the state actually support the state's land use priorities, and appreciate the concern that you've outlined in this area. I think it's critically important to recognize that a transportation package, which is overwhelmingly dominated by the highway expenditures and roadways, is actually going to undermine rather than advance those priorities. We think that there's a better way, a better balanced package that actually provides people transportation choices, because it's going to be critical. A second issue, I think, is that it's important to look at the total needs of the neighborhoods that we would like to see developed. If we want to promote infill development and the improvement of social equity, it's going to be critical that we look at not just the transportation issues, but also at affordable housing and education. And we think there's a room in this package to include funding for those. And finally, I'd like to note that under current law, education spending is not required to actually support the state land use package. And we think that that requiring the state in education investments to support the land use priorities is an important step as well. We noticed that the speaker's package has included, for instance, $1 billion that's targeted for school modernization, which is a critical need in the most impacted neighborhoods in the state. That will actually help us achieve the infill and social equity that the state's land use priorities suggest we ought to try and get.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker.
Rusty Seelix for the California Association of Councils of Governments. We are the agencies that have prepared these regional blueprints, and we want to second what Mr. Adams said to incentivize and point out that you can do much better than having the Transportation Commission adopt priorities. You can put the money in the hands of the regional agencies, not just the transportation dollars, but housing dollars, resource dollars, so they can then make the decisions to supplement the transportation dollars and reinforce so that land use will occur in accordance with these blueprints preferred growth scenarios, which will in fact reduce congestion. Even if we funded every single project that the governor proposes and every other project in the regional transportation plans, all of our plans show congestion increasing unless we get to this issue. And these blueprints show a way that we can get there, and the local governments support them, the business community supports them, everyone supports them. They just need financial incentives to get there. The bonds represent an opportunity to do so. I've passed out a paper explaining more of how this works, and we're working with local government and environmental community to come up with some language to insert into your bills as to how this can be accomplished. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And our next speaker.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you. Jolinda Thompson for the Nossaman Firm. I just wanted to submit written documents that we just received that you might want to take a look at from the Center for Clean Air Policy and the Center for Neighborhood Technology. They've just released this report. The high-speed trains would save 6 billion pounds of CO2 a year should they be built. I'm representing the Association for California High-Speed Trains today, and I'll just leave this with you.
Thank you very much. And I believe our last speaker, go right ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. My name is Ken Bernstein. I'm Director of Preservation Issues for the Los Angeles Conservancy and President of Californians for Preservation Action, which represents diverse heritage organizations and historic preservation organizations across California, including the California Preservation Foundation, California Main Street Alliance, and National Trust for Historic Preservation. We are here today to encourage you to look as these bonds go forward to maximizing the ability to use this as an opportunity to reinvest in our state's historic communities, our historic downtowns, urban neighborhood commercial districts, historic residential neighborhoods, those areas where transportation and infrastructure already exist. Our historic communities, by definition, meet those characteristics. And we have put forward several suggestions, which I will leave you with, for ways to maximize this reinvestment opportunity in our state's historic communities. First of all, urge you to consider a preservation revolving loan fund. This is a way to ensure that our bond dollars...
We could ask you to just hit the bullet points, please.
Sure. Preservation revolving fund. Several other states, including New Jersey, Maryland, Missouri, have these statewide revolving funds that have been part of similar bonds, and we encourage you to consider that. A California Main Street Enhancement Grant. Our Main Street communities touch every corner of the state, from small-town downtowns to urban neighborhood commercial districts. These are where infrastructure already exists. A transportation enhancements program along the lines of what we saw in T21 and the federal ICE-T program for not only streetscape programs and bikeways, but to facilitate the restoration of historic transportation facilities and rehabilitation of historic buildings at transit centers.
Just the bullet points.
And finally, the rehabilitation of historic public facilities. We will leave you with the full proposal and appreciate your time, but on behalf of all of these diverse community organizations, we encourage you to consider the effect on our historic neighborhoods, historic downtowns throughout the state. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you to everyone who has been here today. We're going to, again, I'm going to reiterate as I did at the outset, we're going to ask the staff in a very timely fashion to turn around comments for our conference committee's review, which have been asked, requested by them by Wednesday. Going to ask that, following up on the testimony we've heard today and the comments from committee members, that those comments reference the importance of linking land use and transportation planning, including incentives. The important issue of transportation choices, including high-speed rail, the issue of clean construction practices, pulling the more severely polluting vehicles off the roadway, and the public participation, infill, social justice, environmental justice, and historic preservation issues that I would bundle together in that public participation area. Want to make sure that we give members of the committee opportunities to have a minority point of view reflected to the extent that that exists, and I feel sure it will. Again, we're under a little bit of a crunch for time, but let's make sure that we do that to the greatest degree possible. Want to thank everyone who participated, and last but not least, want to thank the Secretary Lloyd for his service to the state of California. We wish him well, and we want to thank Mr. Kempton for his service to the state of California and for the service that we know is yet to come. On that upbeat note, let's call it a day. Thank you very much. Without objection, the meeting is adjourned.